All right. Well, this morning we're going to talk about a subject. I've talked about it before, maybe even talked about it this time last year. But since then, we get new people, new faces, people forget things, new revelations are brought to light. So if we ever think that we've topped out on any one subject, we're crazy. So many years and years ago, they thought they had hit everything they could with grace and with God's mercy. And the truth of the matter is, we hadn't even scratched the surface of God's grace and mercy. Because if we would have, the church would have never gone through the dark ages. Actually, in my opinion, the church threw us into the dark ages. But today we're going to talk about familial curses or family curses. Most of you know what I'm talking about, but let me explain to you what a family curse is. A family curse is anything that you look back and see as a destructive habit or something that appears in life that is destroying your family. If we look in the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had a family curse. You know what it was? Twisting the truth. Oh, that was Abraham. Don't you dare talk about Father Abraham that way. Well, let me explain it to you. Abraham married a pretty good-looking woman. Abraham went to Egypt. What did he tell Pharaoh about his good-looking woman? She's my sister. Isaac, in a time of famine, went to the land of the Philistines. King named Abimelech. What did he tell them about his good-looking woman? She's my sister. Was she indeed the sister? No, not by our definition of the word sister. The reason you have to understand it that way is because they were indeed family. Those of you from the hills, you can understand what I'm talking about. You know, those of you who got really tall family trees where the branches didn't go off very far. They married cousins. Abraham actually married his niece. She was my sister. That was the term used for any woman of a family lineage. So technically, he did not lie. He just took the truth and kind of spun it to keep the truth from being revealed, because both of them said the exact same thing. Lest they find out she is my wife, for she is beautiful, and they kill me. They weren't exactly the gung-ho, hoorah, let's kill, 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 blood makes the grass grow type, were they? No, they were like, hey, you know, these guys might kill me for my wife. So we look at Jacob and we just browbeat the poor guy. Oh, the deceiver, the twister, he does this, he did that, the usurper. It came through the family. So then when he had children, what should we expect? The same thing, right? We should expect for things to be twisted. And if you've read all the stories about them, you will know things got twisted. They had a sister, and from everything that I've read, she was not raped. She willingly laid with the man. She willingly did it. And she wanted to be given to him as a wife. But the brothers would have none of it. Unless everybody in the town becomes circumcised. Now there's a reason God said to do this on the eighth day for a boy. It's because vitamin K is at its highest naturally in the body. Today they have to give the baby an injection right then and there, if you're going to do it. However, when you do a man who's in his 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, and you circumcise him, he's not going to want to move for about a week. Everybody got circumcised, and on the third day when they were the sorest, the brothers walked in, not all 12 of them, but they walked in and they killed every man in town. But by the way, this was supposed to be an agreement that they could marry their sister. So are we surprised that we see a connection all the way through the lineage? Now let me ask you this. What connection can you instantly pick up in your family? You got one. We all got one. You don't even have to go to body types. But if we're going to go to body types, when I look at my grandfather, who after seeing pictures of him when he was a young man, I look a lot like him. Even other family members that have seen my pictures and his said, you look a lot like your grandfather. Well, the only grandfather I knew was wrinkly and bald and glasses. I'm not far from there. However, at my age, my grandfather looked like he was pushing 80. Rough life. No hair. I mean, way back. Yeah, I see. My forehead has gained ground. And I see it in my cousins, some of my uncles that are still alive. So I see that. I see, okay, this, because my other grandfather, you know, he had kind of had a higher forehead, but his hair, the last time I saw it, was still dark. He had some speckling and gray, and guess what? I've just got speckling of gray. My dad's side of the family, they are gray when they're in their 40s. I got a cousin who's totally bald, and he's several years younger than me and been bald since his 20s. And we're not talking just a little bald. He polishes it. Which I think it looks fine on him. He looks like Mr. Clean. He's a big, tall kid. So you'll see things like that. Is it a curse? I don't know. Ask the guy who's going bald. It's a curse. Well, yeah, no. Who knows? What other things can you see in your family? Addictions? I got alcoholics on both sides of the family. And I'm not talking just, you know, oh, well, they just get drunk every Friday night. And no. My grandfather was such an alcoholic that if he could not obtain whiskey, he drank aftershave. He was such an alcoholic that he was sick in the hospital, and the medication he was on, they told him, do not drink alcohol. You will die. He had his friends smuggling alcohol. His heart exploded. It killed him. He was like 57. Alcohol ruined his life. That's why my grandmother left him. Because he was a mean man when he was drunk. Sweet as could be otherwise. But alcohol made him a terrible person. How about your health? High blood pressure. Everybody thinks eating salt gives you high blood pressure. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. It'll aggravate it. Thanks to my dad's stroke, and actually going to the doctor myself beforehand, I can now sit and tell you I see a family curse. My grandmother died of a stroke. My aunt died of a stroke. I've had one or two uncles die of strokes. My father had a massive stroke. We learned that not being able to get rid of cholesterol naturally in our bodies is inherited. That's why my levels were so stinking high. No matter what, because everybody, well, why don't you just cut out this? I don't eat that. I do not eat like that. You can ask my wife. I don't just sit at home eating bacon and eggs every day. I would love to, but I don't do that. I don't eat a lot of stuff high in cholesterol. I actually do watch that. But my body just was not processing and getting rid of the cholesterol. On the other side of my family, my dad's family, my great-grandfather died of a heart attack. My grandfather died of a heart attack. I've got a cousin who died of a heart attack. I've got another, one more uncle died of a heart attack. And I've got an aunt who's had to have stents put in. So in that family, we have two family curses. One, you got high blood pressure, can't get rid of cholesterol. The other one, you got a bad heart. Well, let me tell you, I have a very good heart. It's been tested and approved. So was my father's. He has a good heart. But through the years, we've taught family curses. We've prayed. I've prayed for people here to break family curses. And what God has showed me in this past year of me dealing with my own physical problems, and then what's happened to my father, trying to get him to understand this is no longer a spiritual issue. We have over-spiritualized a lot of stuff. And family curses are one of them. Ah, we dealt with that. You're free. Okay, so I'm free from that bondage. I've been free from family curses for years. My mom and dad prayed 25, 30 years ago. I've been free from it. So why on God's green earth is my cholesterol high? Why? I'm free. Because, thank you, it's not a spiritual problem. It's a family curse that I need to identify as this is something my body just does not get rid of. So now, I got to find a way to get rid of it. You can ask Angela for the last couple years, ever since they told me, said, hey, your cholesterol's high, we want it to come down. I look and see what foods will naturally absorb. And I love oat bran bread. I love oat bread. I'd like eating oats. I've been eating a lot more of them lately. But I'll be honest with you, there's only so much oatmeal you can eat. And then I'm ready to just give me the Cocoa Puffs. But she keeps a variety for me. So I have been watching that. I've been eating foods that naturally absorb and try to take care of it. Foods higher in protein. And what we've seen in this, and I think my mother has now seen it because we've had a lot of time to talk about it. You can't just look at something and say, I prayed over that. That's the way it is. We dealt with that. You dealt with the mindset. That's 9 times out of 10 where spiritual control is happening. It's right here. If you got a low self-esteem, it's because, first off, probably somebody told you something about you that you believed that isn't true. Nobody cares about you. You're ugly. You stink. Whatever. Now, if you stink, you might want to raise your pits and check. Just saying. But the other stuff, you believe it now. So what's got to change? Well, I got prayed for and suddenly, sometimes that does happen, okay? I want you to understand, I'm not going against the Word of God. I want to put the Word of God in practical application to our lives. I see so many people dying because, well, I dealt with that. My father just about died because he dealt with that in the spiritual. But he wasn't eating. And here's what we found out. The other day he had his appointment with the neurosurgeon who found the clots. And, you know, it was all because the basal artery in the base of his neck had narrowed 99%. Yeah, it's a wonder the man's been alive. And we're like, man, no wonder he forgets stuff. No wonder he's acting weird. He's coming back. He's not 100%. He'll tell you he is, but I'm like, no, you're not. Because, first off, he was told years ago, instantly you're healed. That is not what the Bible says, is it? Bible says if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Signifying that there are times it takes time. And I would rather see him take the time and be restored 100% than to jump out, do something stupid because, well, hey, I feel better. How many times do we all, is that what not what we do? I feel good. I'm going to go out and do what I used to do. No. I have finally come to the realization that I'm not 25. My body does not recover like it used to. I think about things. Okay, if I slip off of that roof and I land, that's going to really hurt. Not just for the day or two. I'm going to feel that for about 6 months. And so anyhow, the doctor, he's like, man, he said, how do you feel? He says, I feel great. I'm this. Which the whole reason I was there is because to make sure that the doctor's got the true scoop. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, doc, I feel great. I said, no, Dad, he still has some short-term issues. And actually, the tireder he gets towards the end of the day, they're really bad. And he will restore. It's just going to take the time. Because he really was a fun guy. I mean, we're talking about a guy who rode through Charleston, West Virginia with nothing but a helmet and tennis shoes. Some of you will get that. We hope he doesn't go to that point again. Thank God he got saved and delivered of that. But he used to do things that he would think were fun. Which I had to remind him in the hospital, give me my underwear, give me. I said, Dad, is this the same man who's bragged about riding through Charleston, West Virginia naked? No, yes, you did. You've told me hundreds of times as a child. But, so he is returning, but it's going to take some time. But in all this, I asked the doctor, I said, Doc, I said, you talked about this being a disease, this narrowing of the artery in the back of his neck. I said, is this hereditary? I said, we found out that the cholesterol issue is a hereditary issue. I've got cousins who have been on high blood pressure medication and all that for years now that are actually younger than me. And I said, is this hereditary? He said, if you don't deal with the cholesterol, yes. So you know what he just told me? Son, if you got high cholesterol and high blood pressure and you don't deal with it, you're looking at a stroke yourself. Thank God I've been actually dealing with it. I am taking the medication. My cholesterol is coming way down. It's no longer in the stratosphere. It's down here where they're saying, oh yeah, you're just a few points high now. So when we come to family curses, like I said, there is a breaking, but most of the time, I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of it is you got to break a mental control on it. How about poverty? You see families, they all live in poverty. Let me tell you a little bit about my family history. For years, my family, my great-great-grandfather fought in the Revolutionary War. I'm not going to go back at many greats, came here from Scotland to get away from the British just to come and have to deal with them again. Fought in two wars, owned businesses, deacon in the church, wealthy man. Come on down the line, I can take you back, way back. We can keep going down through. They were businessmen, they were smart, they were educated, they were this, they were that. Then suddenly, something happens. I mean, even up to my great-grandfather, he was an engineer for B&O Railroad, had a good job, had a large farm, large family. And then something happened to my side, to my branch of that family. They lived on welfare. They were sick. They were broke. They scrimped and scrounged for anything and everything they had. Suddenly, we get saved. We broke the curse. What didn't break? The mindset. The mindset, I have to spend every dime I've got. Suddenly, it's broken off, so let's just keep spending money. And I'm not going to lie, folks, that is a hard thing to break from. But I have other family members who broke from it, who have retired quite comfortably, who have things. They go on trips. They get to do things. But then there's that other faction that I only want to come to hear. After this, you know, the government will take my benefits. You see, then we got the other side that says, I want people to think I'm doing well. We got to look good. We got to smell good. We want people to think we're rich. If you got to make them think you're rich, you're not rich. I know people worth well over $1 million, and you wouldn't guess. You'd never guess it because they don't live like that. They live comfortable. So breaking a curse of poverty is going to take a mindset change in you. Also, it's going to take, I got to work. That's something a lot of people don't want to do. I don't want to work. I don't want to do that. I want a nice, comfortable computer job. Computers are going to take your computer job. You think I'm kidding? The banks are doing it to themselves. They got the tellers telling you, have you tried doing that at the ATM machine? Stop and do the math, honey. If I just keep going to the ATM machine, all they got to do is add another one and get rid of you. Technology is going to take any of the jobs that you think are nice, cushy, and easy. Well, I ain't digging ditches. Then you deserve to go hungry. And I'm sorry, but that's the word of God. Listen, I've shoveled poop. And not animal. I wish it were. Somebody asked me the other day if I'd come over and look at this pump for and grinder unit. And I said, does it involve poo? She said, well, it is for that. I said, no. I'm not changing that pump. You contact somebody else. But if we're going to start changing some of this stuff, you pray, you break the spiritual control, the spiritual bind, chains that are on you, on your family, and then you turn around and make the changes in your life. I mentioned the first one in my family, alcohol. Both grandfathers were raging alcoholics. I've learned things about my grandpa Waddell that everybody has kept on the DL, the down low. And only one person out of, how many kids did we count up, 11 or something the other day, has ever said anything about this. And she wasn't saying it to tell on him. She said it, I watched my daddy beat my mom. And I swore I'd never marry somebody who drank. Because that's what he'd do. My grandma was this tall. And she told her husband so. She said, you got a choice. If you want to drink, you won't have me. He put it down and never touched it again. You see, his son seems to think he was weak or something. But what he didn't understand was, first off, his love. But second off was, he wasn't taking the chance. See, I drank. I drank because of anger. I drank to forget. And I'll promise you, there were several hours I forgot. I forgot that there's certain guys I can't take on. They will win. Especially when you're playing football and they cheat. But revelation about alcohol. It is not against God's word to drink. People are teaching that. That is errant teaching. You know why they teach that? Because they really don't want you going down that road. So they instill fear. Jesus never came to instill fear in us about it. Paul did tell Timothy, because Timothy had this mindset, I won't drink it at all. Well, if you understand anything about the water in those regions, anywhere the Romans came, they started bringing in public sewage. And guess where all the sewage went? Right into the rivers. Where'd they get the drinking water? Right from the rivers. So guess what you had? A lot of dysentery. So you have dysentery, and it's just a big cycle. So what we end up having is, Timothy says, well, I'm not drinking alcohol because I don't want to act like that. Well, Timothy had a stomach issue. Very well could have been dysentery from drinking the water. And Paul said, drink a little wine. Now, I've told you that. You all know my stance on alcohol. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You know why? Because I look back on the lineage that I came from. And you know where that lineage goes? Right down here. I won't touch it for that reason. Because I said the curse is broken. I may not be able to control what everybody else does, but in my family, it stops here. And I'm not going to teach it out of fear. I'm going to teach it out so that you get a comprehension of why. Because if you don't know why, you can't overcome it. That's all there is to it. How about our president? Won't drink alcohol. Forbade his children to drink. He had one son that did. Became an alcoholic, right? You know why he won't drink? Because of a brother who died of alcoholism. He loved his brother. But his brother could not get rid of that monkey. And he died. And his whole thing is, he says, I don't know if I can or won't stop. So I'm not even going down that road. I don't want my sons to go down that road. Their grandfathers were at one time honorable men who became the scourge, whose lives were torn apart and destroyed because of that. There's so many other things. Well, I'll go this route. How about self-righteousness? Moms and dads, your children see everything. My children see, they've been calling me on the carpet on some of it. I no longer get done preaching something and then go home and guess what I get to deal with? The very same subject. And my wife says, you know, my pastor today taught this. Well, your pastor's a very smart man, but shut up. We teach self-righteousness. We teach people to judge. Look at that person. Do you hear how they talk? It got to be a little light in the loafers. I mean, come on. You know, there was the guy on the vocal singing one. Yeah, Jordan. But what's the name of the stupid show? The Voice. Thank you. A couple years ago, by the way, he came out of Harlan, Texas. Anybody watch Justified? Or not Texas, Kentucky. Harlan, Kentucky. You know, they say you never leave Harlan alive. And anyhow, real soft-spoken boy. You listen to him, you think, I don't know about this boy. Come to find out, he sings in his church. Oh, by the way, he's married to a woman. But I could just hear because I've heard it. Sings beautifully. But he won, didn't he? He won the whole competition. See, we're so quick to judge because, well, you know, that person, you know, where's their faith? They're wearing a knee brace. If your knee hurt nearly as bad as mine, you'd be wearing two of them. Which, by the way, is one of those things that I've decided to break. I'm just waiting on a surgeon to call. Doing what I can until then. I will exercise my faith, and when it comes time to have the surgery, my faith will be in that the doctor will be guided by God's hand, and I'm going to get to watch it. I like that kind of stuff. There's just a few times I wish they could have seen. Let's look at Hosea. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Curse is broken, right? Jesus became the curse for us. But the problem is, we deny knowledge. By the way, this word knowledge is not some great mystical wisdom of understanding spiritual power. It means skill. It means knowledge. Imagine that. God's people are dying because, well, hey, you know, the preacher done did preach that if I just pray over this, I will be free of it. So that means I can go all the parties I want. I haven't been to a party like that for a very long time. And when I have gone, I've gone with friends because they invited me who don't drink. Why? Because I don't trust myself. And I've learned over the years not to judge people who do drink. And that's a hard one, especially when I see lives torn apart every day because of it. But Hosea was telling what God was feeling, what he was saying to us. My people are dying because they don't have knowledge. Well, the preacher done said, if you know, I pray over this, that you know, I don't have to deal with this anymore. If you try to quit smoking, you've got to deal with that every day. You actually got to deal with about every 10 minutes or so, maybe even less. That was one addiction I didn't pick up. But I just replaced it with others, so. Be honest with you, I was too cheap. I'm just not being flat out honest. I was way too cheap. I chewed tobacco for just a little while. And then I was like, man, I can do without it. Why? Why do we think that God gave us doctors? Why do we think God gave us people who can say, hey, you need help? There are people who can't honestly help. God wouldn't have given them this knowledge. Let me put it this way. My father would be dead if it were not for knowledge. And as I've explained to him, I've explained to my family, the first stroke was God giving him a warning. When I learned about it, like I said, I had to deal with a whole... I went high and to the right. And I dealt with it. And God said, this is a warning. I told my family. Several of them said, I agree. Well, I'm healed. Listen, we'll talk about faith again. But what Hebrews does not say is faith is denying what is. That's what we've been taught faith is. Faith is denying that the meniscus in your knee is torn. No, I can tell you every step it's torn. I praise God that I can walk upright today because Monday, I couldn't walk. Tuesday, I had to walk like this. By Wednesday, I was able to stand a little bit better. And Thursday and Friday got a lot better. Where's your faith at, Pastor? My faith is in the fact that God stood me up. It'll heal. And one thing that I need to do is take care of myself. See, unfortunately, we live in a sinful world, right? The world has fallen because of sin. Our bodies were designed to get rid of cholesterol. Our bodies were designed to get rid of fat. Our bodies were designed to renew. So, why is it, and by the way, here's the number one thing. Christians are the first ones in a prayer line to pray for healing over something that a diet change could take care of, exercise could take care of. Oh, by the way, maybe even taking a pill would help you. I can live with a little bit of sore muscles and take my Lipitor. As long as I can eat a piece of bacon every so often. No, I'm not cutting it completely out. You've got to have cholesterol to a degree. And I'm good now. Moderate it. I don't sit down and eat a pound at a sitting. Never did. I ain't saying I wouldn't. Just being honest with you. But see, that's one of those areas. You got to be disciplined. Let's go to the next scripture. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. What is captivity? Captivity is being bound by something you cannot get free from. Why? Because you don't know how. Why? Because years ago, the preacher taught you just pray and it's suddenly gone. No, it doesn't always happen. I can't tell you how many times people stood in prayer lines. I want to be free from addiction. I want to be free. Sometimes it takes a fight, doesn't it? I don't care what the addiction is. Porn, alcohol, drugs, tobacco, lying. By the way, which lying is another one of those things that runs in my family. I can take you right down through the lineage and show you who the liars are. But because we have no knowledge, we're bound. I would have been bound to the same fate my father suffered this past winter if it were not for the knowledge and the exercise of something to do about that knowledge. We are spiritual and physical people. We cannot deal with physical problems in the spiritual realm all the time. And that's what we're trying to do. And I do not agree with anybody that's teaching that. They teach you that there's demons behind every tree waiting to flatten your tires. Well, when you get down and there's no tread, it was time to change a tire a long time ago because there's a wear bar on there. Yeah, you know, if you don't take care of your car, it's going to blow up. What did you expect? The oil's got to be changed. They will blow up. Shocks are going to wear out. Mufflers are going to fall off. This stuff is going to happen. And you can't say, well, you know, I know there's a problem, but I'm praying and believing in Jesus' name. Listen, you got to put gas in the car for it to run. I have heard of instances where people did not have money to get to work and put a piece of tape over their gas gauge. Drove to work, and I'm not talking just 5 miles down the road. We're talking about 60 miles one way, 60 miles the other way back, and it was on empty. And as soon as they took the tape off, the car stopped. That's a miracle. Did it ever happen again? No, not to that person. Well, Pastor, I don't know about all this stuff. You know, you need to, you're just goofy. No, I think goofiness is learning that there's a problem and there's a way to fix the problem and not doing it. By the way, there are, let me tell you, I forgot to share this the other day. Oh, this is the first time I've had to share it.
at War on the Floor, y'all remember, we said this year we are attacking the drug trade, right? Morrow County is a bigger thoroughfare than you think. Marion is too. But we said we're attacking our county and any county connected with us. The other day I got an alert on my Facebook page from the Morrow County Sheriff's Department that at the intersection of State Route 42 and County Road 93, which by the way is my road, I'm a half mile from that intersection, they pulled a vehicle over and discovered that it was a mobile meth lab. Half a mile from my house. Don't tell me you can't take care of garbage like that. Person shouldn't have watched Breaking Bad. We're looking for them. You can take care of that problem, but now what do you do when you got somebody who's addicted and they're trying to fight? You got to help them. Yeah, you just pray. You just pray. Family members know better than anybody. You got to hold them. You got to love them. And you got to be real with them. Well, we don't want to mention what might happen. You know, Pastor, we got to be easy. The drug's not easy, is it? Drug addiction is bad. It's the same addictive spirit, no matter what it is. You can have somebody who's addicted to sugar and they just can't stop. It'll control. How about caffeine? You know, like I said, and the same people that are teaching that, you know, you just got to pray against this are the same ones that will also teach, that's my coffee, don't preach against my caffeine demon. If you can't be civil to people before you've had your coffee, you got a problem. I will admit, there are days that it's a little bit better to go ahead and get your caffeine. I used to get my hair cut by a barber. She smoked, and one time I walked in, and she just looked at me. And she could be rough anyhow, but I knew women of her ethnic group. They were Italian. I already knew how to play them. Because I had to sit next to one for a year in my office. And anyhow, she just looked over at me. She said, I'm smoking a cigarette. I said, by all means, I will not stop you. I'll even light it for you. I don't want a bad haircut. Yeah, Pastor, you should have been preaching about the evils of smoking. I'm there for a haircut. She knew it was bad. I mean, come on. When did anybody comprehend in their mind, you know, if I inhale smoke, it's good for me? We had a landlord. This woman, you talk about goofy. Ooh, boy. As soon as she found out we were Christians, she proved how goofy she was. Wow. One day I see her walking around, and she was late 70s maybe. No, I think she was closer to her late 70s. But anyhow, I see her walking around in the yard because she lived two doors down. She's walking around smoking a cigarette. I looked at her and I said, I didn't know you smoked. Nah, doctor said that I should smoke a cigarette every so often for my lungs. Say what? Then one day I seen her walking around the pond with a beer. And I said, I didn't know you drank. No, my doctor says I need to drink a beer for my bladder. You know, water does the same thing. I'll admit, yeah, beer goes right through you. But water does, if you drink enough water, it'll wash you out, clean you out just fine too. But see, that's the mentality we got. We don't want to look at what is right, what is knowledgeable, and what is beneficial. We say, oh, I just dealt with the spiritual problem. If you don't deal with the physical, so what? There are times, like I said, God does heal. And I refuse to judge anybody who dies because we prayed for them unless they refuse to do what they know is right. And I still should not judge them. But we've judged people. You had no faith. You had no faith. That's not for me to make a call. How do you know? You've not been beat down like that. I just wish you would stand up. I just wish you would do this. You need to do this. It's real easy when you're standing, isn't it? It's real easy to stand behind a pulpit or look down your long self-righteous nose at somebody and say, you need to do this. If you ain't willing to reach out and help somebody up, shut up. There, how's that? If you're not willing to step in the muck and the mire that they're stuck in, you know, we're like those people. You know, somebody's stuck in quicksand, we just want to throw them a rope from about 30 feet away, and the rope keeps falling at the edge of the quicksand. We don't want to get close to them. I don't want to get that stink on me. I don't want people to know. Who cares what people think of you? When are we going to quit caring what self-righteous, deceived people think? Let's deal with our problems. Don't be afraid to go to the doctor. Trust God for the healing. It was, and I think I shared this the other day about faith. My dad's pastor was sharing one day there at the hospital. He said, you know, the woman with the issue of blood, y'all remember me talking about this. If she hadn't gone to the doctors for 12 years, she probably would have died and never seen the manifestation of her miracle. The doctors kept her alive.
Oh, but they took all my money.
You think God can't restore that? God's in control of this stuff. We've got to learn to trust Him. If your car's falling apart, oh, we'll talk about attacks. What are real attacks from the devil? And what are warning signs of the natural? Like if you're leaving car parts as you hit potholes, it's time for a new car. That's all there is to it. I remember I told Angela, we got a truck paid off. We got the van. We're not getting anything else. We're just going to pay cash. Well, I'll be honest with you, that didn't last real long. Truck died, the van died. There we were. But you know what? I trusted God in everything, and He's always provided. But I'll be honest with you, you can't be afraid to get out and do extra work. You just can't. You can't be afraid to do what you've got to do. If you want something, you got to fight for it. I don't want to be poor. I lived poor. By the way, I don't want to be sad all the time. I don't want to live this life where there's no fun. And it's taken me a while to come out of that. In, I believe it was 1982. How many of y'all were around for the World's Fair? You remember that? Down in Knoxville? I had tickets. I had a ticket to go. Everything was paid for. Food. Everything. Because my dad worked for Kokosing at the time. And they bought everybody that worked for them and their families tickets. Mom and Dad said they didn't want to go, but my grandparents were. They said I could go with them. Well, the preacher at the time was teaching we were in the end times and we shouldn't be doing anything fun, so they wouldn't let me go. Where's the World's Fair at now? That's the only one I'd ever heard of until you start buying antique stuff. But you see what I'm saying? Knowledge didn't work with faith. I wasn't allowed to play Little League for the same reason. If you want to know why I don't fast a whole lot, if you want to understand fasting is, there's no pleasantries in your life while you're fasting. No TV, no sex, no nothing. You wear the roughest clothing you've got. You are sorry. That is fasting. That was my childhood. God tells you to fast, fast. I lived it. Anything that was pleasant was taken because people wanted to over-spiritualize every stinking thing. There's a time to deal with the demons. Then there's a time to deal with the bald tires, the clogged fuel filter. More than likely, you don't have a demon in your basement. You got air in your water lines. I ain't gonna lie. That you'd be laying there in bed, you start hearing things pop. My wife, she's one of the first one to. I tell you what, there's times you can't wake her for nothing, but boy, you let something. Wham! What? Did you hear that? There's somebody trying to come in. That's why I've told my boys, when you go to bed, do not come downstairs. Do not come downstairs. Which, unfortunately, Jesse took that for real one time and peed out the window and broke the window when he put it down. 2 degrees above zero, and he breaks the window. They had cardboard until spring. That was awful. But she does that, or if I do it and I hear something, somebody's in the house. I know people that, there's demons. I'll tell you one thing I've learned. I love metal roofs. Boy, that rain, and if you got the right, you're far enough away, it just puts you to sleep, right? If you got a metal roof and it's warming up, pop, bing, bing, bing. Sounds like somebody's walking on it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go over here sometime when it's warming up. That roof will drive you nuts. I'm looking around. Who's in here? Don't over-spiritualize stuff. But most importantly, when you identify family strongholds, family curses, you can deal with them, but I need you to understand, it has to stop right there at your feet. It means you got to do something about it. But I don't want to, I've seen alcoholism on both sides of my family or this side. You know what you got to do? You may not abuse it, but it doesn't matter. I don't want my children abusing it. I don't want my children's children to be abused by it. You following me? If you're drinking, or smoking, or whatever it is that you need to be stopped, let's face it, I've got family members that died of cancer too. Grandpa smoked like a freight train. Died, or he had a heart attack that ultimately took him out, but he was in the hospital due to cancer, which, by the way, was never shared until the last year that it was cancer. So all these years that I've told people, no, we ain't had nobody die of cancer. Well, we just don't think it's worth telling. Do you understand how genes work? Things are passed down the line. Not every cancer comes because the devil's waiting around a tree to hit you with it. There are propensities just like everything else. But you can deal with it. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I had one uncle died. The stroke took him out, but he was in the hospital because he chewed. Cancer, he was eat up. Had one uncle, God healed of cancer. Totally healed him. The mass was the size of a grapefruit. When they went in to work on it, it was the size of a gumball. Took it right out. He'd later die of a stroke. One, he refused to give God the glory and turn his life around. Now his kids are raging alcoholics with no relationships. You know the type. There's no happiness and joy in their lives. It's one failed relationship after another, one bottle of whiskey after the next. He refused to deal with it. I deal with mine. I'm not going to send my children down that road just because I don't want to deal with it. It doesn't take much. I pointed this out to my dad the other day. I said, "Dad, did you see that? You see this? Two lines running right here. If you got good blood pressure, you're going to probably die of a heart attack if you're not taking care of it. If you got high blood pressure, well, you got a stroke to look forward to if you don't deal with it. You just got to deal with it." By the way, this was siblings. Don't say, "Well, we're all Woodells. You know, that's the Woodell curse. You know, that's only Woodell." No, because the stroke came through the Dawsons. That came through that line, not the Woodells. The Woodells, grandpa, great-grandpa died of a heart attack, 58. That was that. But you know what I got to look forward to? There's Woodells that lived in their 90s, their 80s, late 80s. I'm not stopping in my 60s just because I refuse to deal with something that needs to be dealt with. Take the knowledge you've been given and exercise it. And don't bite just because they say, "Well, you know, there's women cutting off their breast because breast cancer." If it's one of those things, you got to take a stand. "I just cut them off. They're trying to kill me." No, they're not. That is honestly a true curse. I don't know of anything they can do. And by the way, I think Angela was telling me they're coming out saying now, the mammograms are worthless. And all the women that ever had to go through that torture device, no man would do it. I can promise you that. We wouldn't do it. We wouldn't give birth to children. That's it. We'd say, "God, you figure out something else." Oh yeah, you'd have one. And then we found out how bad it hurt. I'm done. All right, let's stand. Because we can really go down a rabbit trail. And I'm afraid the Mad Hatter is the one who's waiting at the end of it. You have authority in your family? Take it. Take the spiritual authority and be the example. Don't sit there and deny that it exists. It's there. You can see it if you'll open your eyes. I don't want to see you destroyed because you won't deal with something. I don't want you seeing your children or your great-grandchildren, your grandchildren, because you won't deal with something. They look to you. I mean, those of us that are parents and grandparents and so forth, they look to us. I mean, I hope we're being a good enough example. Like I said, it's not because I didn't like my friends who drink. I couldn't be around it. I didn't go to one of my oldest friends or one of my old friends after the wedding. Reception, yes, thank you. It's time to shut up. And I married him. I didn't go to the reception because I knew the alcohol. I just can't do it. I've gone to a few parties where there was alcohol. Got along fine. But 20 years ago, I couldn't have done that. And I don't go out seeking people in the bars. "Well, I think I'll play some pool. I'm going to go over here into the bar." Not a place I need to be. Not that I crave it anymore, because I used to crave it. But because it's not worth it. If I go into a bar, you're going to see somebody being drug out by their ankles. Because I want them out of there too. And I'm going to have somebody else with me. Phil. Nobody's going to say, "Yeah, your pastor in there drinking at Dorothy's." No. I want my friend out of there. I want my friend free. Anyhow, let's pray. Father God in heaven, we are truly appreciative, Lord, of everything you have done for us. Father, for things you have broken, Lord, I pray now that those of us that have looked and we've identified these things, Lord, that are family curses, Lord, we pray that you help us to change in us, one, so that we may be able to properly teach others who are dealing with it, but two, so that we can be the example. And Father, I thank you and praise you that you're going to show people things that, just as you've shown me in the last 6 months, this curse that ultimately would be destined to destroy me, that we can break it, that we can deal with it. So Father, I thank you and praise you that you're giving people that knowledge, the strength and the courage to tackle these things and to deal with them. Father, and to deal right now, Lord, we do take a stand against every spiritual force that would be part of this, Lord. We bind it in Jesus' name, and it cannot rule any longer. We will take the necessary steps to resist it. As your word says in James, resist the devil and he will flee. We will resist that side, but we will also change our habits. We will change our mind. We will change our words. And we will look to you for your mercy and for your grace to overcome it. And now, Father, I bless these people. Lord God, I bless them. I pray, Father, that you, any disease that's in their body right now, Father, you touch it and heal it in Jesus' name. And I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that you're moving in their lives. Father, you're orchestrating things that has been shut down. Father, you're opening opportunities for them, in not only in ministry, but maybe even in their careers, Father. I pray that you're doing these things in Jesus' name. Amen.